Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by Sun First Solar. Others promise the moon, they deliver the sun. We're also brought to you by Rose's Cafe, a favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood of San Francisco for the past 20 years. Today's guest is former KNBR talk show host Ray Woodson. Well, great to have you on the podcast, Ray, and very disappointed to hear that your relationship with KNBR has ended, but man, it was just a great run for you being there for a dozen years. I really enjoyed listening to you on all the shows that you did, especially the Giants postgame show. So tell us about, the appreciation you have for the time that you spent there and, what happened with KNBR.
Well, no doubt, Joe. I mean, at a moment like that, you take stock, right? You look back at everything that happened and, experiences with Gary Radnich and Tony Bruno. Had such a blast with that. And then getting into Sports Phone 680, going through three World Series with the Giants. Super Bowl run with the 49ers. I was there in Cleveland for the Warriors' first championship in 2015. There I was taking phone calls at 3 a.m. Eastern time. And, meanwhile, fireworks were going off at Oracle. And, walking through downtown Cleveland at 4 in the morning with people still milling about and maybe a few Warrior players piling out of a limo and back to the hotel to continue the party. I mean, that was an experience that you just can't buy. And all this stuff, a couple of U.S. Opens thrown in there, too, by the way. That's something that I could not have envisioned when I got there. And so I think I came for a pretty good run. And, this is a rough business. It's about change. You have to know that when you go into it. And for me, it's about looking forward now. And it's weird. Freedom is weird. now I'm looking at a whole range of opportunities and kind of taking my time. But again, if you work in this business, and I know you know this too, Joe, things can change on a dime, and you just got to be ready.
Well, as a listener, the thing that I was really disappointed about, Ray, is that, I really loved your show, and I loved how you brought intelligence to the airwaves, because you don't always hear that in sports talk, and I like your style. I just think that, it brought a lot to the table in that respect, and the way that you handle the callers. So there's a lot to be proud of in what you accomplished at KNBR, and I would expect that, you're not going to change anything. The way you present it and prepare for it is something that you should take pride in.
Well, thank you, Joe, and I did prepare. I always tried to do my homework, and, it was a show about taking calls from fans, and so you better be patient. So that was a part that I really enjoyed, and a lot of people would say, oh, well, how can you stand somebody having that dumb take? It's like, well, not everybody is as immersed in this as you are, and you got to understand that. Some fans are. Others are a little more casual, but they're listening to you, and, they're spending money on sports, so, they're part of the party, too, and so you can't disrespect them in that way. As far as the future is concerned, like I said, I'm just the kind of person, I move on, I don't look back, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to get my voice out there one way or the other. So, I try to be optimistic about things.
We'll have more with Ray Woodson right after this. We all know that solar systems make financial sense and environmental sense. And when it comes to choosing the best installation crew in the business, Sun First Solar should be your first choice. Sun First Solar has provided solar excellence since 1984. They are SunPower Elite Commercial and Elite Residential installers with a reputation for technical excellence, innovative design, fair pricing, excellent customer service, and end-to-end quality and competence. Sun First Solar is a family business devoted to treating their employees, customers, the community, and the environment with respect and they are devoted to renewable energy and sustainability throughout the Bay Area. There is no room for a project that is too complicated. SunFirst has successfully installed solar on Spanish tile roofs, metal roofs, and very steep roofs. They also have extensive experience in solar ground mounts and solar pool heating. Competitive pricing, expert consultation, and the best warranty. Go local and get your SunPower solar system from SunFirst Solar today. Call SunFirst Solar at 415-458-5870. That's 415-458-5870. Well, you mentioned experiencing a lot as far as, you know, Warriors, 49ers, Giants, and you see the best and the worst. And, you know, those years that the Giants were winning the World Series, that's great. But then there's a year like this where, you know, you experience just a very difficult season near the bottom of baseball. So, you know, how do you feel that you reacted to it? How does that change the way you go about your business on a post-game show and just looking at this team?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the way I've always approached it. I mean, the story tells itself, right? I mean, if they're winning championships and they're pulling out these incredible clutch games, you say so. You tell the truth about the team and, you know, what great things they did. And when they're not good, you got to say so. So that's why I always handle it. There was no agenda. But, you know, you look at the team this year, getting to a point where they've got the worst record in baseball, and you've got to say so. But more important than that, you've got to explain why. And I think it's a combination of things. It's a perfect storm for the Giants this year. There were things that maybe they could have controlled as far as depth, especially in the outfield, and that was something we were, you know, hammering away on in the offseason. But there was also a lot of, as Bruce Bochy would like to say, buzzard luck. I mean, as far as injuries, my goodness, look at all the injuries they got, not just with, you know, I mean, you can start with Madison Bumgarner and go from there. But, you know, you're looking for prospects in the minors to come up and at least show you what they got, and they get hurt. So, you know, we're now in August. They're trying to get to 50 wins, and we're going to see a lot of young kids now, and that's probably the way it should be at this point. But it makes the future for this team, at least for the next couple of years, kind of murky.
Yeah, I think some of the fans thought, okay, trade deadline, they're going to try some big things, but there really wasn't a lot of interest from other teams around Major League Baseball with the contract situations with some of these players. So, you know, it is one of those deals where you have these core players and they're just going to have to perform better. You can make some tweaks here and there. You know, what do you see as the major changes that the Giants could make going forward?
Well, I think Bruce Bochy has already mentioned one of them this week, and something I've talked about. You can't play Stan in center field anymore.
No.
So if you're going to keep him, you got to move him to left, and it may end up being a platoon situation with him and Pence in left, because you know, Pence's defensive ratings have probably gone down quite a bit as well.
And, oh yeah.
You know, he's not the bat he used to be, and you know he's swinging and missing at every breaking pitch loan away right now. I mean, and how many home runs has he hit in AT&T? You know.
No. Yeah. Nothing. <Zero?
laughs>
Yeah.
Yeah. They just got their first three-run homer of the season at home from the pitcher.
Ty Block.
That's not a good sign either. So they got to remake that outfield. They absolutely have to remake that outfield. Okay, if you're going to go into 17 thinking about a platoon in left, and I don't know, maybe Austin Slater has a role, but you got to get a new center fielder who can cover that ground. I mean, I really like Lorenzo Cain. If they can get him in free agency, you know, he's same age as Stan, I believe, but he hasn't had the injury history. He's been more durable and, you know, very athletic, and a guy that, you know, the Royals for a great deal of time were hitting third in the order. The other part is if you can find yourself a corner outfielder who's a middle of the order guy, that's the big hole that's, you know, kind of there for everybody to see in this Giants lineup. They've got to find a way to get more power into that lineup. They're never going to be like a lot of other teams, you know, that have mashers up and down the lineup. But you have to move at least a little bit toward the trend in the game now. And I don't know, maybe they change the ball again next year because we're having a record year in home runs. And, you know, you'll have a reaction going back the other way. But you see team after team come into AT&T Park and have no problem hitting it out.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not really the park's dimensions. You know, the 421 in right center, yeah, that's rough, especially if you're Brandon Belt or Brandon Crawford. But, you know, there are some left-handed hitters out there who aren't scared by that either. So, but I think if you could, preferably get a right-handed hitting slugger, and I don't think the park is unfair for right-handed hitters, you know, especially, you know, in the day games where the ball carries a little bit better. So if you could get that one middle-of-the-order bat, I think, you know, everything radiates out from that. You can move Belt down, you can move Crawford down, you know, and the debate goes on and on about Belt, but he's a complimentary player, and he's a good complimentary player. That's not a knock. He's just a guy that you don't want to hit third or fourth. He brings a peculiar and particular skill set, and that's fine. He can play in the major leagues. He's got a contract, and it's actually a pretty good one when you look at the production of first baseman around the game. But it was still one of those contracts that was hard to offload. Same with Pence and same with Span. So, I mean, that's the big one to me. And, you know, Span can still hit, so I guess you can lead him off. But, you know, beyond that, I think they got to remake the outfield. I gave you a really long answer there.
Well, I think the other part of this, too, Ray, is that all of us are sort of focusing on the lineup because, yeah, they don't score enough runs. They don't hit enough home runs. And Bruce Bochy definitely laments that. But at the same time, you know, the pitching isn't what it used to be. The bullpen definitely isn't what it used to be, even the rotation. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had to cover for Madison Bumgarner, as you said. But how much do you have to do on the pitching side? Because the bullpen looks like it needs to be changed. You have young arms that are talented, but they're not producing.
Well, that's another part of it for sure. And what makes it kind of murky, if you're looking at them trying to contend in 2018, there's a lot to fix here. And the bullpen is right near the top. There's no doubt about it. I think they can figure out the rotation. You know, this is a team I think that will always be able to attract free agent arms here. Now, the big question going into the offseason will be about Cueto, whether he's going to opt in, and you're going to be on the hook for the rest of that deal. And, you know, you hope to God he can get back somewhere close to the form he had before. This has just been a disjointed year all around for Cueto, and, you know, from the very beginning. I think we all understand that. It may be something with the baseballs having to do with his blisters. There's been an uptick in blisters around the game, especially for starting pitchers this year. So that's something they have to address going forward. In the meantime, yeah, I know he's going to get some rest, and hopefully he finishes strong in September. But, you know, that's a guy that I'd like to have around if it's the Cueto of old, right? I mean, you get Bumgarner and Cueto back to what they used to be, and Bumgarner is certainly showing signs of that, then you've got a pretty good building block. And speaking of block, no pun intended, but Ty Block has shown himself. I mean, he's been consistent. And so you feel very comfortable with him back to the rotation. Samardzija, you know, is a guy that puts up some scary numbers as far as the walk-to-strikeout ratio, and he's been very aggressive, and hence he's going to give up some home runs. But I like the way he's pitched this year, and I think the Giants have too. And again, you're talking about a guy who's potentially a number four starter, so now it's Matt Moore. What are you going to do with Matt Moore? That's going to be, you know, they have an option coming up next year. He's young enough that you figure you could work with him on some of the problems he's had this year. And I think some of them are between the ears, you know, and it probably drives the coaching staff a little crazy trying to get him out of this because he's got great stuff. But sometimes he's a little predictable to a zone, and hitters pick up on that. So that's something that, you know, you got a young guy still, relatively young in his 20s. Do you continue to work with him or do you look in another direction? And, you know, you look at the minor leagues and Beattie's hurt now and that kind of set back his clock. Are you going to go with him as a guy in the rotation next year? I think that's going to be the one question to me is Matt Moore. But the bullpen, yeah, that's going to be totally remade, right? And one of the things they have to find out is there another lefty they can count on? Because I don't know if Osich and Okert are those guys. That's something they're trying to find out now. It doesn't look like it right now. You got Will Smith coming back. Dyson's been pretty good, and he'd be a decent setup guy. And you hope Melanson comes back to form next year, too. So those are, you know, and I like Kyle Crick. I think Crick is going to have a role on this team. They're starting to ramp up his responsibilities. That's not a bad start, but it's going to be, looks to be totally remade from the start of this year and certainly from last year.
True. And when you talk about Moore and then even some of these other pitchers that throw hard, I mean, it just looks like they have major league stuff. But you do have to remind yourself that it's not all about velocity. And it's funny because it just seems like that keeps coming up. Like, you know, all throughout baseball, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy throws 95. He throws 98. And that's all we ever talk about. But you look at Ty Block, and he's not breaking any radar gun records. And look at what he's doing. Look at what Greg Maddux did for so many years. I think that's kind of, you know, you have to sort of look at that as an organization and remember that, hey, we want pitchers. We don't care about velocity as much.
Well, major league hitters look at 95 now and say,
yeah, you know, I know.
It's run of the mill. It's almost like when a guy throws 89 or 90, it's like, what is this? You know? And the thing about Block that I like is, yeah, he's a pitcher. He works fast. He stays, you know, he controls the tempo. And so I think that helps him against hitters who some hitters aren't used to that kind of tempo. He'll work low and away. He'll work up and in. He's not afraid to work in on the hands on right-handed batters, which I like. And, you know, he'll come after you with whatever he's got. And he's got some good late movement on a couple of his pitches, and he is fairly precise, which you got to be. You know, more, I mean, yeah, he's got great stuff, but either he's too predictable to his zone or he's not even finding his zone at all. And he can be going great guns for three or four innings, and then he loses it. So, yeah, which would you rather have? I'd rather have the consistent guy. And I think most managers and pitching coaches would like to have the consistent guy. And Block's been that guy. And it's been very interesting because, you know, the scouting reports on him are, well, he's got to find a third pitch. The league's going to figure him out. But, you know, he goes six or seven innings. He goes three times through an order and does okay. I mean, I'm perfectly comfortable with him at the back of the rotation. I think Moore is the real piece of the puzzle they got to figure out.
We'll continue the conversation with Ray Woodson in just a moment.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat before a night game or dinner after a day game, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
To finish up here, let's look around baseball and just kind of take our crystal ball out. And, you know, I think most people are saying, okay, look at the Astros. They look like almost a shoe-in to come out of the American League. And then, you know, you've got the Dodgers, you've got the Nationals, maybe the Cubs are making a run here. So, you know, besides the Dodgers and Astros, kind of the obvious choices, who could maybe surprise when it becomes the postseason?
Well, just because I love Dusty, you know, I have a little rooting interest for the Nationals. And they've addressed some of their issues in the bullpen, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, they've definitely shored that up. So, you know, that's what plays in the postseason. Now, if Bruce Bochy is managing the postseason with that bullpen, I love it. You know, Dusty, sometimes, as we know, some of the decisions he makes in those moments of the postseason are questionable. But, hey, a couple of years ago, the Giants were playing the Nationals, and Matt Williams made a questionable decision that turned around a series, too.
Right.
That, you know, with Jordan Zimmerman. I think that that's a team I'd look for because, you know, the sabermetrics are right about this. Over the long haul of a season, you put together the lineups and the pitching staffs. And by the way, Houston's been getting by without, you know, with a lot of injuries to their starting rotation. Just shows you how talented they are up and down that lineup. My goodness, and what a year Altuve is having.
Yeah.
I mean, check out his numbers.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
For the last couple of months, you can't get the little guy out. It drives people crazy. But I think when you get to the postseason, it's a whole different ballgame, as we know, in a short series, and you better have a bullpen. Because you might have to pull the trigger early in the second or third inning on a starter, as Bruce Bochy has demonstrated time and again. So, to me, if you've got a good bullpen and you know how to use it, well, heck, we saw it last year, didn't we, with the Cubs and the Indians. And so you've got to have arms that can shorten the game for you. so that if the starter goes sideways, you're ready to make a move. So, you know, I'd watch the Nationals. That's certainly one team out there. And I think just because of their experience from last year and the talent they do possess, you know, the Cubs bear watching. I'm a little scared of their starting rotation, but I think that you've got to look at them just because of what they did last year and the talent in that lineup. The Dodgers, though, I mean, you look seventh inning on, they're pretty strong, and then you get to Jansen closing out a game.
Right.
Good Lord, that guy's unbelievable. And we talk about walk-to-strikeout ratio, and check out what he's done this year. But that's a team that, you know, it's a weird lineup because, yeah, you have a couple of guys, young guys who are so talented, like Seager and Bellinger, but they're free swingers, right? Especially Bellinger.
Oh, they're swinging for the fences every pitch, it looks like.
He reminds me of Mickey Mantle used to say. He used to say, oh, I tried to hit the ball 500 feet every time. You know,
that's exactly right.
That's what Bellinger's trying to do. It's fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. But you get to the postseason, you get with these free-swinging clubs, you know, sometimes they hit a little drought offensively. So then it comes down to putting more pressure on guys like Kershaw. And he's responded, checkered, you know.
In the postseason, right. Yeah.
Kind of pressure in the postseason. So that makes me a you know, you take down Kershaw in a short series, and then that just turns the whole tide with that Dodger rotation. So I'm going to look at the Nationals and say that that'd be the team for a value bet.
It's going to be fun to watch, no doubt. Ray, thanks so much for the time, and definitely look forward to talking to you again soon. Good luck with everything.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Good talking to you.
That's former KNBR talk show host Ray Woodson. Coming up on Monday, we're scheduled to hear from Jonah Arenado, who's playing third base for the San Jose Giants in the California League. And then on Wednesday, we'll be at AT&T Park as the Giants take on the Chicago Cubs. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.